Okay, we'll ask God to help us. Lord, as we come unto you, it is with thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, I know that we are in, we need to prepare ourselves. We just need not to be bemused by the apparent safety we're in, but recognize there's tremendous currents afoot in the world, and to be prepared, Lord. We know we can stand and rejoice in Christ no matter what happens, provided we're living in you. So help us not to be casual, not to be careless, but bring the truth of God to us and bless those that are being taught, the children, in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 17. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having a great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." All right, let's go back to where we started in verse 7. And a war broke out in heaven. We don't really usually think about heaven being a place of war, but it is. Much more than we realize and has been all through the history of the earth. And the wars in the earth really are reflecting the wars in heaven. That's why no matter what people do, there's another war, and there's another war, and there's another war. The World War I was a war to end all wars, and then World War II was a war to end all wars. And since then we've had Korea and Vietnam, and now we're in the midst of a war with terrorists. That's because there's war in heaven. And the earth is reflecting what is going on in the spirit realm. Now one might wonder why Michael and his angels, they fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. I don't know how angels fight, but they do. Why was Michael not able to drive Satan and his angels out of heaven previously? That's a big question. Why was he not able to drive Satan out of heaven previously? And the answer is because Michael and his angels receiving the strength to drive Satan and his angels out of heaven. Heaven doesn't want them. Heaven doesn't want them. And it's because Michael having that strength is based on the saints maturing to the place where God is satisfied in his mind that they have done his will, responded the way he wants. So when you're making an effort to serve God and do his will, you are participating, you are giving Michael strength so that he will be able to cast Satan out of heaven. Now, I don't know when that will be. I rather think it has begun, but I'm not sure of that. But if not, it will be pretty soon. But it depends on people being willing to overcome Satan. That's what it depends on. Because God has all power, and at any time he can empower Michael to drive Satan and his angels from heaven. Anytime he wants to, he can do it. But it is God's idea that man let Satan into the earth in the first place, and God is going to leave it up to man to drive him out of heaven, because man was responsible to let him in by believing the lie. And of course, we cannot do it ourselves. God will not do it himself. It has to be God and man working together. And that's why he's given us the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can get to the place where God will be pleased and empower Michael. And then Michael and his angels, who can only work with God's power, will be able to confront Satan and drive him from heaven. Now, the issue is truth and a lie. Truth and the lie. I may not be able to make that clear this morning, but that is the issue. The issue is truth, and we may think of truth as being an accurate reporting of facts, but in the Bible, that's not truth. That's an accurate recounting of facts. That's what it is. It's not truth. Truth is what is true of God's person, what is true of God's will, what is true of God's ways, and what is true of God's eternal purpose in Christ. Those four things, God's person, God's will, God's ways, and God's purpose in Christ. And those four things are the testimony of truth. And Jesus Christ is that truth. He tells us what is true of the person of God. He tells us what the will of God is. He tells us what the ways of God are. And he tells us of the coming of the kingdom of God, God's eternal purpose in Christ, that the earth will not go on for billions of years until our Milky Way galaxy collides with Andromeda. It's not what's going to happen. It's not true. What is true is that God is coming to the earth to set up his kingdom on the earth and to command that his will be done. That's the truth. Now, of those three things, God's person and God's will and God's ways, God's truth, of those, Jesus is the way. And he showed us by his life the way of God. And Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life of God. He himself is these things. And in Christ, we can see the truth. In the world, we see the lie. The whole world spirit is of Antichrist, of Satan, and it's a lie. The whole world spirit is a lie. Everything that the world teaches and tells us is a lie. The whole thing is a lie. You have to realize that the struggle is not one of power. The struggle is one of truth and the lie. God has all power, and he has given all power to Christ, who exercises it in the will of God. But there's no problem with power. The problem is with the truth. And if you can get a feeling for that, the truth is what is true of God's person. That's the testimony of God. Those four things are the testimony of God. And in the United States, while there's a lot of gospel preaching, the testimony has been destroyed. We're not hearing what's true of God. We're hearing that God is a kindly grandfather who will help us and do what we want no matter how we behave. The Bible does not teach that. God is faithful to us when we are faithful to God. Now, I know that many times God is faithful to us when we have been unfaithful. But if we continue to disobey God and not do His will when we know it, God will not hear us when we pray. Are you there? God will not hear the prayers of someone who deliberately and knowingly is rebelling against God. So the idea that God is nothing but love and is up there in His graciousness like a kindly grandfather who spoils the grandkids and says, let boys be boys, that's not a true witness of the person of God. As far as the will of God is concerned, that testimony of truth has been destroyed in the United States by taking such verses as Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And by isolating that from Romans 6 and other relevant passages of the book of Romans, we have created a religion. And it is not the will of God that our Christian life consists of a belief in doctrine and what we talk about in religion. That's not the will of God. The will of God is that we be conformed to the image of Christ and that we listen to Christ at all times and do what He says. You know that's true, don't you? Who was it yesterday? I think it was it Andrew who was saying that Martin Luther said, or maybe it was Ertz. They know all these wonderful things over there in Switzerland. But he said that Martin Luther said this, I love it, that when you're baptized in water, get this, Stan, you can either enter into the death and crucifixion of Christ or you can swim. Oh, I love that. Religion is swimming. Religion is swimming. You learn how to make the moves, and sure, you're baptized. You go down dry and come up wet, but you never entered the resurrection and the death of Jesus Christ. Rather, you learn how to swim with your words, say all the words and all that. That's religion. And religion always has been and always will be the greatest enemy of God on the earth. So in the United States, the will of God has that His church be righteous has been destroyed, and in its place is the lie that there's such a thing as a dispensation of grace. I'm here to tell you there's no such thing as a dispensation of grace. When Paul speaks of the he says of himself, he says, a dispensation of grace was given to me to preach the gospel, meaning God enabled him. The grace of God was given Paul to enable him to preach the gospel. But we have taken that term and change it from a dispensation of the grace of God to a dispensation of grace, meaning that God has changed His mind concerning man and making him in His image, and now we're saved by God's forgiveness. See, that's a lie. That's not true. That's a lie. And as far as God's will is concerned, that testimony has been destroyed in the United States, in the Western nations. They all kind of follow along together with the big lie about God's will. And as far as God's ways are concerned, their ways of gentleness and love and righteousness. Micah 6:8 best sums up God's ways. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to love mercy, to walk righteously, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. That's God's ways. That's God's ways. To walk, that man is to walk humbly with God. Walk humbly with God. And that's what it means when it says the righteous shall live by faith. It means walking humbly with God. That's God's ways. And in the United States, that has been corrupted to mean that God's ways are we go and build churches and fill them up with people who give their money and make a big scene and never change into the change that God is requiring. So that part of the testimony has been destroyed, and in its place we have the American lie, and it's a European lie. It's the lie of the Western nations that Christianity is a religion in which you believe certain things and say certain things, and you'll go to heaven when you die. That's a lie. And then the fourth thing about the setting up of God's kingdom on the earth, that has been destroyed in favor of a doctrine that teaches if we will make the right religious commitment, we will go to heaven when we die. There's no kingdom preaching in what goes on today in America. If there is, it's very, very infrequent. It's very infrequent. What we're preaching is a gospel of heaven. We've changed the gospel of the kingdom of God to the gospel of going to heaven. That's a lie. It's not what is taught in the Bible. So the issue, Satan is a lie. He's the father of lies. He is a liar. Everything he stands for, everything he portrays is a lie. That's what a lie is. It's not an inaccurate recounting of facts. It's the testimony of God. And Jesus Christ is the truth. That is the real truth. It's not a recounting of a fact. It's the relationship of man to God. Now, both Satan and Jesus Christ in the Bible are called day stars. Both of them are called day stars. Christ in Revelation, I am the bright morning star. The morning star is the day star. What it is, it's the planet Venus. The planet Venus is the day star. And if you'll ever go out, I saw it one time when I was standing guard duty on the fantail on LST, and I saw Venus come up. I thought it was a distress signal, and I reported it to the bridge. But it turned out it was Venus, because it came up just as the morning was breaking. Very bright light came up. That's the morning star, the day star. And in, it's either Isaiah or Ezekiel 1. It's Isaiah, I'm sure. Satan is called the day star. And in Revelation, Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. And 2 Peter, the first chapter, talks about take heed to the Bible until the day star arises in your heart. So the contest is between the two day stars. Which one is telling the truth about God? And see, that was the problem in the beginning. God said, if you eat of that tree, you'll die. Satan raised that question. In fact, he didn't even say you won't die. He waved in such a way as he usually operates in a gray area where you can't tell what's right and what's wrong. But the end result was Eve believed a lie. And so the lie from the beginning, it was a lie. It has pursued all the way through history. Today, it's a lie. The media portray a lie. All the technological advances in communication are all projecting a lie. So how do we find the truth? Well, it's not easy. You have to contend for it. And you have to contend for it all the time. And you overcome Satan. You overcome the accuser by the word of your testimony. See, that's how you overcome him, by your mind and your voice and your actions telling the truth about God and about his will and about his ways and about his eternal purpose in Christ, that he's coming to the earth to install his will. It isn't going to go on like this while Antichrist reigns. That is not going to happen. Okay, so, all right. Now, they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Just think, Satan has access to God. Think of that. We see that in Job, don't we? He had access to God. And that's our problem. And Paul says we wrestle against rulers in the heavens. See, we're not wrestling against the liberals. Don't get drawn into right-wing conspiracies or left-wing conspiracies. We're not wrestling against the Democrats. We're not wrestling against the communists. We're not wrestling against the homosexuals. Don't get drawn into that. The papers love that because it sells papers. All they're after is money. So that has to be sensational. So if they can polarize people and get an argument, then they can sell papers. Don't get drawn into that. If you do, you're foolish. That's not the issue. We're not wrestling against left-wing people. That's not the wrestling. Christ died for them just as much as he did for right-wing people. And if you've been drawn into that, when we take communion, get up and tell the Lord to get it out of you because it's a lie. Our wrestling is against Satan. It's against the principalities and powers in the heavens. That's where the struggle is. Not against some poor dude that got drawn in by his college professors into some line of thinking that was wrong. If you get drawn into that, you're foolish. What you are is you're walking in the flesh. Okay? Please take that kindly. It was meant kindly. So the great dragon was cast out. What a description of Satan, a dragon. And so many cultures worship dragons, particularly in the East. They know, or serpents, either one. They know intuitively, and they're afraid of these gods, and they try to appease them. That serpent of old called the devil, which is the adversary, or let's see, I don't know, I forget. Satan, I guess, means adversary. Devil may mean accuser, I don't know. Who deceives the whole world. See, he doesn't have power. He couldn't touch Job without God's permission. And his power was destroyed on the cross. He has to work with a lie. So he's the deceiver. You see that? He can't stand. Now, you better listen to what I'm saying, because when these angels come down, you think we're having problems now. You haven't seen the beginning of problems. We have problems with the demons. Wait till the angels come down. These fallen angels. And they may reveal themselves and show you to scare you to death. And you've got to know where you are in Christ in order to have the faith not to be afraid. Because once they get you afraid, then you're at their mercy. So the demons draw us in, the angels will come down. And when that's like it says, woe unto the earth when that happens. Well, it's going to happen, and it may happen in our lifetime. So you've got to be prepared to know where you stand in God. It's not a question of power. Satan has to deceive you in some way. Because if you fear God, the angel of the Lord is around you as a protection. And Satan cannot pass the angel of the Lord. He can stand outside and make faces and threaten you with cancer and everything else. But he can't touch you unless he can get you to lose your faith in God and move outside of the faith in God, then he got you. So it's deception. It's playing with your mind like he does with lust and pornography. He plays with the minds of the saints until he convinces them that what they're doing is okay. And that's how he prevails. But he doesn't have the strength to do it. He can't do it unless you let him. And many times when we're having repeated problems, we have to keep praying and asking God, why does this keep happening? Why does this keep happening? And if it is because there's a doorway in your life that Satan's getting in, Christ will show you that so that it can be closed. I mean, this warfare is very intricate. It lasts our whole lifetime. And I'm telling you, it tries men's souls and women's too. He was cast to the earth. Can you picture such a thing? You know, earlier in this chapter, it said his tail drew the stars of heaven. That's not talking about his army. His army's still up in there. That's talking about today as he deceives the saints, those whose position is at the right hand of God in Christ, and he deceives them and tears them down to the earth. That's the stars. Now we're talking about the angels, the actual wicked, fallen angels. And these were people of great power. I say people, they were beings of great power in heaven, and they are going to be driven down into the earth. Can you imagine what that will be like? Well, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. That's why it says, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Heaven is having a blast. They're having strawberry shortcake for dessert. They're rejoicing, they're dancing, they're praising the king. But the earth, Satan used to be up in heaven, and now he's in the earth with his angels. That's what we're facing while we're lulled asleep in our luxurious America. It's no wonder the government, nobody can think straight. Have you noticed that? The crazy things that happen. The Secretary of State goes over there and practically forces the Israelis to open up the gates so the Palestinians can come across. The first thing that happens is they kidnap somebody. I mean, it's enough to drive older people crazy. The younger people are too interested in their icons and their downloads. All right. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, and when you see that, that means something important is going to be stated here. Something important is about to be pronounced. And it's something that's going on in heaven. And we need to realize that. We need to get one foot in heaven, I'll tell you. Because if we allow ourselves to be confined to flesh and blood existence, we won't get any real grasp on the kingdom of God. You have to get both sides of the world connected so you see that the things that are happening here are really the result of problems in the spirit world. And when you get the victory in the spirit world, it will manifest itself in the earth. But until you get the victory in the spirit world, you'll have a problem in the earth. Can you see that? Our problems come, both our problems and our grace come from the spirit world. This world was not made by the things which do appear, but things which do not appear. That statement's in the book of Hebrews. All right, now notice what comes as a result of Satan and his angels being cast out of the spirit world. What they do, they're cast out of their ability to hide in the spirit world, and they have to come into the earth, and they don't have access anymore to God to accuse the saints. And that's a wonderful thing right there. But notice the result. Salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. That's what they're saying in heaven. That's what they're saying in heaven. They're saying, thank God he's out of here. How about that, Michael? Thank God he's out of here. You do what you want him down there, but he's out of here. How wonderful. That day is coming, by the way. That day is coming. Brother Mumford said, if you read the last chapter of Revelation, you'll see the good guys won. For the accuser. Now, you say, how can he do that? And why does he do that? He accuses each one of us before God every time we fail to do what we know what we're supposed to do. And every time we do, he says to the Father, see, they're no different from me, and if you're going to save them from the lake of fire, you've got to save me from the lake of fire, because they're doing the same things that I did. That's what he accuses. He says, the question is rebellion. He says, I rebelled against you, but look, there's that person. They rebelled against you too, and if you're going to put me in the lake of fire, you've got to put them in the lake of fire, your precious little do-gooder saints. And it goes on all the time in God's ears. Accuser. That's why intercession is so important. Christ makes intercession for us constantly. And some of us, if we're that's our calling. He'll bring us into that role so we, along with him, can make intercession for the saints, because they're being accused all the time. And by the way, don't gossip. When you gossip about another Christian, you are right. Join. You might as well kiss Satan on the mouth, because that's what he does. Oh, yeah. That's what he's doing, and you're helping. You're not making intercession. You're accusing. Come on. Are you out there? Is that right, Ertz? We're accusing. You're accusing. You're joining ranks with Satan when you do that. I'll tell you another thing. When you sin, when you and I sin, we commit a sin of some kind, whether it's lying, stealing, hatred, some immorality, whatever it is. You know what? We're bearing the testimony of Satan to the world. We're saying this is the way it's supposed to be. Think of that. This is the day star. What I'm doing, yes, I told a lie on a real estate contract. They want to know what my income was. And the realtor says, fudge it just a little. We need to get this show on the road. And you do. And Satan says, yep, that's my testimony. You don't have to tell the truth. Tell it almost. Have you ever done that? Tell almost the truth. All right. He accused it before God day and night. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't have to sleep. He's an angel. He's a cherub. And they overcame him. Now notice that. Because Christ, in Revelation 3:23, I think it is, said, he that overcomes shall sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame. What did Jesus say he overcame? Huh? The world. Remember he says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The world has to be overcome. It's a lie. And now we find that we have to overcome. He that overcomes, as I also overcame, shall sit with me in my throne. It's a question of rulership. It's people that have stood against the lie and said, we will not believe it. If this world is what God is, then get me out of here. Instead of loving it and saying and trying to be friends with it. The world is a lie and stands for a lie. And it's like God said, all is in the world, the lust and the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the lust of pride of life is not of God. Okay. They overcame him. In other words, we just don't overcome biting our fingernails. We just don't overcome yelling at the dog. We overcome him. He's the one that must be overcome. He's the one that's trying to persuade us to partake of the lie. They overcame him. They overcame him. Isn't that marvelous? Wow. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's marvelous. They overcame him. Him, Mario. Think of it. They overcame him. A cherub. Here we are, the mud of the ground, made from dust. Not the women. The women weren't made from dust. But the men were made from dust. And they overcame a cherub. One of the mightiest of God's creatures, if not the mightiest. The dust of the ground. Through Jesus Christ. We couldn't do it ourselves, but through Christ, we can overcome the cherub. Now, notice how they overcame. First, by the blood. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that you cannot prevail against Satan by Christian philosophy, by your ideas that all people are basically good, or you're trying to be a friend of man, or whatever you hear going on that is close to Christianity, but not quite. The difference is the blood. That's the difference. That's what philosophy does not have. The blood. And when Satan sees that, when I see the blood, well, of course, it wasn't Satan that said that. It was God's destroyer that he sent out. But there's authority, and when, see, God is in a position of balancing the scales of justice. Things have to be balanced for God to be pleased. And the only thing that could suffice to balance the scales of justice that were thrown way out of kilter by man's rebellion is the blood of Jesus put in the other pan on the balance scale. And that, Satan cannot answer to that. So when you make up your mind what you want to be, one of those who overcome Satan, just remember the blood. The blood is something that God did. That's a sovereign act of God. And when we put our faith in that and trust in the authority of the blood of Christ, that God will accept that, then when we commit some sin. I had a young man that I was kind of tutoring, and he came to my house when in Palo Alto. He was so crestfallen. He was doing so good, and he says that I bought a six-pack. And I said, well, all right. He pictured himself getting up the Zion and sliding all the way down, and boom, hit the ground. And I said, all right, let's recognize we did wrong, and we'll have to get forgiveness from the Lord and start in again. You don't quit. But you see, Satan will come and say, it's too late for you. Okay? What you've done is too bad. You know, you burned up your mother for the insurance money. You did some heinous thing. You molested your daughter, and when she got 25, she couldn't take it anymore, and she committed suicide. You've done a heinous thing here. And then Satan will say, there's no, God will not forgive that. Well, see, then we appreciate the authority that's in the blood. Because the blood that we will be taking today in the communion, the body and blood of Christ, have the authority to forgive us. But God is not foolish. There's a lot of things you'll pay for. You know, you may get forgiveness over smoking cigarettes, but you still may die of lung cancer. God will forgive you because of the blood. But there's processes that you set in motion when you set against God, and God will not stop those. That's a misunderstanding in Christianity. God will forgive you through the blood, but there are things that will work out that would be different had you not sinned. Understand that, please, because nobody gets away with anything. Okay? Nobody. But the blood makes it possible for us to repent and come back to God no matter what we've done. Unless, of course, we sin away our day of grace by keep saying no to the Lord when we know he's talking to us. You can sin away your day of grace, but nobody's done that here, so don't worry about it. All right. You wouldn't be here if you did. All right. Now, when we come to the word of their testimony, which is really the central issue of what I'm talking about today, that has to do with the truth. You have to overcome the lie with the truth. You can't overcome the lie with politics. You know, say, well, I'll vote for this one or that one or a third party and I'll get this good old America back on its good old foundation. Well, you don't overcome Satan that way. He's had too much practice to be fooled by you. You have to overcome him with the truth, not with power, not with fasting and prayer, although there's a time for that. There's a time for many things. But you overcome Satan with the truth. Now, that's how you overcome by the word of your testimony. Now, the truth has to be in your mind because you will act from what's in your mind. So you will act out from what's in your mind. Now, how do you get the truth in your mind? Well, Romans 12:1-2 tells us, doesn't it? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that will of God. See, your mind, and today the battle is for the mind. I wished I had all the young people in the entire world in one place, and I'd tell them, remember, when you're listening to electronic devices, you're listening to a lie. And a little bit is okay. You know, we're not talking about some extreme action. Bring in all the iPods, put them in a pile and burn them. I'm not talking about extreme actions. I'm just saying we're in this world and we have to hold it lightly. Lightly. You don't get immersed in it. And, of course, that's what Satan would have us to do with worldly music and worldly information and the things like MySpace and the other things which are money-driven to get young people to communicate with one another. And Satan's purpose in that is to separate them from the elders. You need to know that. There's about four of them out now. I can remember MySpace, but every young person in here would know all the rest of them. And they're money driven, great market for young people who want to make friends at their own age level without really their parents being involved. And I don't know if you can see the problem there, but whenever you separate the young from the experience of the older Christians, you have a formula for disaster, because they will take their values from the wickedest person in their group. And that's been proven in the public schools. You have a K through 6 school, all the standards of all the kids from kindergarten on through will be determined by the 6th grade. So you're wiser if you cut it off at the 5th grade and have a K through 5. Because at the 6th grade, it's when they get interested in boys and girls. And then anything is possible. And it filters on down. So when you get part of a social group, it will move to the most sophisticated of the group. And whereas there'll be things said and done that you don't believe in, you'll fall into it sooner or later, because the dynamics of a group are such that they conform every member to the group standard. That's known to any sociologist or psychologist. When you're a member of a group, you will be conformed to the standards of the group. There's just the dynamic that's operating. And to go different from the standards of the group, you have to remove yourself. That's what you call a leader. So when you get into MySpace and the rest of them, just remember, you are in a group of people, and their standards may be far different from your parents. And that's exactly what Satan wants. So unless you're tickled to death to have your mother and your father read everything you've put on MySpace, don't put it in there. Because you're being drawn into the big lie. You're being drawn into the big lie. See, the lie is, well, you know, the older people, they don't want you to have fun. They're really not all that bright. And the idea is to get what you want without them knowing it. See, that's exactly what Satan wants. I think about Abraham and Isaac and how these were brought up in a patriarchal system. And you can write it down or forget it. But I still think the best form of government is a patriarchal government, like they have in some of the third world countries and some areas of Iraq and other places, where you've got a patriarch and all the people. It's like the old Scottish chief, you know, the chief of the clan. Those governments will work, because everybody knows you mess up, you answer to the chief of the clan, you don't want to do that. So, and then they marry within their clan and everything, and it's happy. But you get into what we have in America, there's an irresponsibility, there's an invisibility. So these sociological efforts on the internet are designed to get young people operating at their peer group level. because it will always go to the wickedest part of the group, and that will conform the group. And see, why should you do that as a Christian? That won't transform your mind. What that do will make you part of the world lie. See? Well, our pastor we don't have any fun, and he's so dumb. He never was a child or a young person, and he doesn't know what it's like. Isn't that so, Jason? Don't say anything. All I'm doing is explain. I'm not scolding you. I'm not rebuking you. I'm explaining to you the dynamics of how it works. It affects your mind, and not in the way of the truth of God. And in that realm, see, you're caught up in something that is bearing a false witness, and you can't overcome Satan because it's coming from him. So as I say, I'm not rebuking you or scolding you or telling you to throw away your iPod or anything. I'm explaining to you what's happening in your life. So you're not going to strengthen Michael by participating with a group of kids, most of whom are not even Christians anyway. Okay, having said that, the word of their testimony. Now remember, we have to tell in our mind and in our words. And see, what we're trying to do is bear witness to what four things? Who can tell me? Some of you have been taking notes. What four things are we bearing witness to? God's ways. God's person. God's will. And his purpose in Christ. See, that's the testimony. That's what the testimony. Jesus bore witness of those four things. Now, our job, when God gets enough people who can overcome Satan in these four areas so that they are presenting to the heavens and the earth. Because, see, the spirit world, here's what we're doing. Those four things. And they have to be in our mind. They have to come out of our mouth. You know, when you go to speak, think first. Now, I know many people speak before they think because they have a diarrhea of the mouth. And it just runs and runs and runs and runs. And way back here is their brain. They don't even know what they're talking about. It just feels so good for their mouth to be moving. Well, if you want to overcome the accuser, think, because the things you want to speak, things that will build up people. And sometimes you'll blurt out things that are not intended to build up anybody. It's just because you're a busy little newsy bee. You're giving them the news and you don't stop and think, now is that going Isn't it the truth? Is that going to help them? Is that going to encourage them? Or is just making me feel good to be blathering? See, you have to overcome with your mouth. Oh, Lordy. Not everybody has that problem, but some do. And you have to pray. I'll tell you, saints, how many of you know what the word garrulous means? G-A-R-R-U-L-U-L. Well, it means talkative. It means talkative. Okay. Talkativeness is not a mark of spiritual maturity. It's a mark of spiritual immaturity. The more mature in Christ you come, the less you'll say. Because you see, you're weighing your words and you're praying all the time, saying, now, Lord, is this going to benefit this person? Now, that takes a lot of self-control. It takes a lot of spiritual maturity. And when you hear a babbler, they can be in the church for 30 years, but they're still immature. They're a babbler. Huh? Yeah. Now, that gave us something to think about, didn't it? Huh? It takes willpower before you talk. First of all, be a good listener. And then before you talk, think. What are my words going to accomplish? Am I just the first in town with the news? Or what? Newspapers, they're a blot on the market. In my part of heaven, wherever that may be, there'll be no newspapers. I don't like them. Well, that's a personal thing. And then your actions. I don't know if you're ready for this. Colossians 3, Lloyd. I don't know if you're ready for this. I want to tell you, and I'm about through here. I'm getting the lights on here, which means get ready to shut up. Between verses 1 and 19, I want to give you some operative terms. That means things you can do. Because by doing them, you testify of the four things of God. Starting with verse 1, set your heart. Verse 2, set your mind. Verse 5, put to death. Verse 9, rid yourselves. Verse 9, I think it is again, do not lie. And then there's one here, put on. Put on. I don't know. That's verse 10. Put on. That's an operative term. And then in verse 12, clothe yourselves. See, these are things that you do. As the Bible's commanding you, do these things. Because they bear witness of God. They bear a true witness. And they overcome the lie. This is how you overcome the lie, by your actions. Bear with each other, verse 12. Forgive, verse 13. Put on love, verse 14. See, put it on. Let the peace rule, verse 15. Verse 15. Be thankful. And then in verse 16 through 19, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's how you overcome Satan. Not by yelling and speaking in tongues. There may be a time for that. But the main thing Satan is afraid of is that you will live righteously. That's what causes him to flee in disarray. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay, so this morning what we learned is the battle is between the truth and the lie. The world spirit, the Antichrist spirit, is one huge lie. God wants us to bear the truth concerning his person, his will, his ways, and his eternal purpose in Christ. And we bear witness through three media of our personality. And what are they? Our mind. Well, mind and heart and soul is, you know, our mind. Bible says transforming of your mind, but you can say heart. And the bush, the mouth, and what? Actions. Okay, we're ready now for communion. And if by any chance any of this applied to you, you can come to the altar and tell the Lord about it. Praise the Lord. And you can get the victory because there's authority and power in the blood of Jesus. And when you take the communion, don't take it lightly. Realize it's the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in there is God's divine grace and forgiveness and enablement to think, speak, and act the truth. Shall we stand? Okay, if the elders will prepare the communion then. And as I say, if you need to come, come. Don't stay glued where you are. I know there's people in here, and it doesn't take a divine revelation to know that in some area here that I went through, the contest between truth and lie, that there's probably something in your life that needs shoring up. So this is the place to get it shored up. Hallelujah.